brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm Justin.
I'm Shirley.
Welcome to the Nerds Domain Podcast. In this episode, we're doing Nerds Domain on the Criterion Collection, and we've watched Lord of the Flies. In these episodes, we take a look at the movie we've chosen from the Criterion Collection and review it. So, what is the Criterion Collection? The Criterion Collection is a continuing series of important classics and contemporary films on home video. Our edition often features restored film transfer, commentary track, and other supplemental features that the company pioneered when it released its first Laserdiscs, Citizen Kane and King Kong, at the end of 1984. Ever since, Criterion has been working closely with filmmakers and scholars to ensure that each film is presented as its maker would want it seen and published in an edition that will deepen the viewer's understanding and appreciation of the art of cinema. So, Lord of the Flies, let's get the basics out there. Shipwrecked on an island, the castaway boys eventually revert to savagery despite the few rational kids' attempts to prevent that. It's directed by Peter Brook and adapted from a novel by William Golding. This is the 1963 version. So, what'd you guys think?
I enjoyed it. It's not as good of the book as the book, but it's pretty close.
So you've read the book?
Yeah.
Okay. Shirley, what'd you think?
I haven't read the book. I don't know. I just wasn't into it.
Oh, really?
It just wasn't.
You didn't care for the movie?
No, I think it's a boys' flick.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that because there were no girls in it, or?
No, I just think I guess that would be the reason why, because there wasn't really anything for me to relate to except for the human condition, which, you know, it was kind of interesting that, you know, you always get this group of people together and, you know, one chooses one path and another group chooses another, and then all of a sudden they all turn into followers. But you know, you didn't really get a good sense of their age range, and I just felt like kids at the age that they looked like, just, they wouldn't act that way. Like, one boy couldn't or shouldn't be able to influence, you know, as many boys that were there to turn them into murderers, essentially.
Well, see, that's... He didn't really turn them all into murderers. It was the one kid that kind of reverted that away, and he was... That's where it goes away from the book a little bit. But there was one kid who was a little bit more savage than the rest of them. Ralph, I think his name is. The one
right.
Who drops the book on Piggy.
The book.
The book or the rock?
The rock. Did I say the book?
Yeah.
You said
no,
the book.
Ralph is actually Piggy's friend.
Oh, is it? Who's the one who drops the rock?
It's Jack that's the leader of the other group,
yeah.
But I don't know if that was Jack that dropped
that
rock.
Jack didn't
drop
it.
Was the two little kids standing at the top of the cliff.
One little kid, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
I thought it was the twins.
Hold on.
Well, in the book, he is cruel to start with.
So he's in the book, he's more cruel than he is.
Yeah, he joins the hunters because the hunters follow his line of thinking.
It's Roger that drops the bolt.
Roger.
Yeah. And the two twins were Sam and Eric.
This is
Sam. I'm Eric. Sam. This is Eric.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I guess we should tell a little bit about the story. So the story starts off with Ralph and a character whose name is Piggy. He gives another name, but I can't find it listed anywhere. He does actually give his name at the very beginning.
At the very beginning.
He's kind of portly, but he's not really that big.
No.
But he's got glasses and asthma, and he can't swim, and Ralph is kind of just a normal kid. And they find a conch that Piggy teaches Ralph how to use to blow, and he blows it, and a bunch of other kids show up, including a choir of boys led by Jack. And they all get together, and they elect Jack the leader. Or, I'm sorry, they elect Ralph the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And they go about setting up a fire to signal any ships that come by, and I guess, and Jack and his choir take charge of watching the fire. And then what happens?
The twins catch a glimpse of the monster, the pilot.
Oh, that's right.
No, yeah. That's further into the story. What happens is...
I thought that happened real early, like right after the fire got lit, because they watch it first night, don't they?
That's pretty late.
Is it? It's further into the story because you know, Jack starts getting restless, and he's like, we must go hunt, you know? And he seems really bloodthirsty, you know, for... a kid that looked either preteen or you know, not even in very much into his teen years. And then they let the fire go out because all of the hunter group decides to go hunt and hunt this pig. And Ralph sees a plane. And then he scrambles up to the top of the hill because the fire is supposed to be lit so people will be able to see them. And the fire's out, so he and Jack have
an argument.
Yeah.
This is where they first really first subjugate Piggy and steal his glasses to make the fire the first time. And he kind of hands them over the first time, and the second time they just take them to make the fire, and it just goes downhill from there. Yeah. Jack's group seems to get more bloodthirsty and savage, and Ralph tries to be the... voice of reason,
mm-hmm.
and eventually, something happens. There's a beast that is really just a fighter pilot in all of his gear.
Yeah.
And they know that there's a beast on the island. They think it might be a giant snake or something.
Yeah. In the beginning, the little kid said that he saw it at nighttime in the water. That it came up on the beach and then it went back into the water. So that's how the story of the beast, and then Jack kind of proliferated that by keeping it going, and they found the boars after that, the wild hogs, and then, you know, Jack kept saying, you know, there's a beast, and he kind of played on all of the boys' fears and convinced them that there was some horrible beast out there that was going to, you know, kill them or hurt them in some way. And they, at one point, they're arguing, well, we've looked all over this island and there's no beast. And Jack was like, well, yes, there's a beast. There's one place that we haven't looked, which was where the cave and the rocks were. So they decide to go ahead and go explore that part of the island. And that's when, you know, all of them kind of crest over that hill, and the wind caught the parachute of the fighter pilot, and it kept turning the fighter pilot's head and making it look like he was getting up. So all the kids thought that that was the beast, so it kind of validated Jack.
And then they go back, and Jack tries to get them to, like, denounce Ralph as their leader.
Right.
And in doing so, Jack gets very little support, so him and Roger... and another one of the choir leave, but then slowly lure the rest of the party away with cooked pig, because I guess there's pigs on the island.
Right.
And then eventually they start, and I say eventually, this is all pretty quick in the movie, but it gives an idea, a feeling that it's over time, and eventually they start giving sacrifices to the beast.
Right, the heads of the wild pigs.
Yeah.
That's another... When the kid goes up and gets transfixed, of staring at the pig's head, I didn't really like that scene in the movie. It seemed to have focused too long on it, and that's another part where it deviates from the book. In the book, the kid has a vision, a hallucination, that the pig starts talking. The head does.
The pig head, when the kid found the pig head right before he found the pilot,
yeah.
That pig head had all the flies on it. That's the Lord of the Flies. Yeah. And in the book, I'm looking at the Wikipedia now, it says that in the book that he has a vision where the pig's head talks to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's suggested that he's epileptic, mm-hmm. So epileptics have these kind of visions sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, and it tells him that there's no monster.
Right. Oh, well, that's kind of interesting. So, seeing how the movie played out, how far does it differentiate from the book?
That's about it. To be honest, really? I had completely forgotten that kid... We can spoil these things, right? It's an old movie.
Yeah.
I completely forgot
like
that kid died. 800
years old.
Simon talks to this pig head, and then goes farther into the island and finds the pilot and realizes it's just a pilot. And goes to find the rest of the group, and when he shows up, they're in the middle of some ritualistic dance, and they see him thinking he's the beast in the darkness and attack him and beat him to death.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I mean, that's how Simon dies.
Yeah.
And at that point, everything starts to go really bad. The group that Jack is leading are acting like savages, and they've been stealing fire and they've been stealing food from Ralph's group, which Ralph's group is willing to let them do. They don't really seem all that upset about it.
No.
But Jack just keeps pushing and pushing, and eventually his friend Simon, or not his friend Simon, Jack's friend Roger, so the savages come and steal Piggy's glasses again.
Yeah. Because they need to make a fire.
And Ralph and Piggy and Sam and Eric go to get them back. And when they go to get them back, while Ralph is trying to convince Jack to hand them over, Simon pushes this giant boulder over from the very top of the mountain and kills Piggy.
Not Simon.
Yeah, that's... Simon, oh, I'm sorry, you're right. That's yeah. Roger.
Yeah.
All the kids look the same. And it crushes Piggy, and his body washes out into the ocean. And so Jack,
even at that point in time, I don't know how it's notated in the book, but like Jack has this look of surprise on his face, like he can't believe that it happened.
Yeah. I don't think that at any point in time Jack or that Jack ever thought that they were being violent.
No, Jack is.
I
not
mean, they
bad.
they killed Simon, but that was an accident. I mean. It was horrible.
Everybody
but it was an
said
accident.
That it was on accident,
yeah.
But it just seemed like they kept justifying.
That's it. They do
their actions.
They come up with reasons to cope with what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
So they convince themselves that what happened is the other kid's fault. That's why they chase him through the forest and try to kill him.
Yeah. So they chased Ralph off. Ralph goes into hiding. Sam and Eric are captured and tortured, which we don't really see any torture. They just seem to switch sides.
Yeah. They were very tortured in the book.
And then as Jack orders his tribe to begin hunting Ralph, they set fire to the forest, and eventually Ralph wanders or runs out onto the ship and runs out on the shore and happens to run into an officer from a warship. And that's kind of where the movie ends.
Yeah, that's where the movie ends.
I assume that's where the book ends, too.
Wow.
So, that's the basis of the movie. Honestly, this movie was a little rough to watch. Not just for the subject material. There were some editing issues that I had problems with.
I didn't like the start. The intro with the cuts of the pictures... seemed to have lasted a touch too long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a little long.
I think they were just trying to convey, because at that time, is this World War One or World War II?
It's World War One.
It's two.
Is it two?
It's got to be two. They didn't have
pilots. Oh, you're right. You're right. It was two.
Okay, so World War II. You know, at that time in England, a lot of the children got sent away to different places. I mean, you know... The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what happened to the kids there. You know, the city started getting bombed, so they sent the children away so they would be safe. And I think you know, even though they may have overdid it, they wanted to convey, you know, where these kids were coming from, and that this is what, that the story up to what, why they were on this plane.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Well, in the book, it actually starts them being shot down by an enemy plane. They're in a plane being transported off of, being transported to someplace safe, and they get shot down.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize they got shot down.
I thought they were on a boat.
No.
Yeah.
No, oh, I knew okay. they were on a plane. I don't know. I didn't know what happened to make the plane go down, though.
Okay. Well, the editing itself, beyond that first intro, there were times when it was clear that they were talking on the beach where they were shooting, and there were other times that they overdubbed the... like a soundstage where Jack or where Ralph or Jack were talking over what was going on in the scene.
Yeah.
And it was so different. It's not even, they didn't even try and hide it very easily.
Yeah.
And that pulled me out a lot. I know that sounds weird, but that and some of the editing of the scenes together was a little rough. And those two things really pulled me out of the movie and pulled me out of the story that was being told.
I feel like, you know, usually when you watch a movie, you know the purpose of it. You know, like, there's some moral implication or some, you know, some lesson to come from most movies. You need either on a psychological, emotional level of some sort. And as I was watching this, I just kept thinking, okay, there's going to be some lesson here. There's going to be some lesson here. These kids are going to learn that, you know, this isn't right how you treat other people. And even in certain circumstances, as you grow up, you're not allowed to do this. And I thought that maybe the story would go past the point of the adults showing up, but it didn't. And it just felt like the story was cut off. For me, it felt like the story was cut off. And then there was no moral to the story.
Well, there was nothing.
The question is did you learn a lesson from the story?
Yeah, because
I don't think there was a moral. Did have one.
There's no moral lesson for the characters because they'll get one later, but we don't see that. The question is, did you see the moral of the story? Because the moral of the story is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, if you felt differently, but that without order, man can still turn savage.
Close. Well, what I got from it was, without laws, society will crumble. Because they start off with the laws, and then once one person starts disobeying them.
And you hear Jack early on call for punishment for disobeying the rules, but no one agrees to that. No one wants to take punishment.
Right.
So part of it is I guess yours is better spoken, Jesse. But that without rules, which is what Piggy represented. He was the most adult-like, the most order-minded.
Right.
And Ralph was kind of with him most of the time, but he also just wanted to have fun, too.
Right.
Piggy didn't understand fun.
Right.
And so Jack wanted to, you know, go hunt pigs and didn't care about the fire and slowly brought others under his thoughts because he was feeding them.
Right. They were getting food and taken care of.
Yeah. And it just... And they were having fun.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're saying that, you know, without rules and order, chaos will erupt. But if you look at the story, during certain parts, there's a scene where there's a bare-bottom boy bent over a rock, and they're beating him with a cane. That was punishment and Jack enforcing the rules of his tribe. So the rules were being enforced on both sides, just in different ways.
Right, but when the rock gets knocked over and kills Piggy, no one gets punished.
No, Roger even gets, not necessarily rewarded, but he gets another task. That's where he gets...
I think when they were beating, it's when they accidentally killed Simon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They understood that what they did was wrong there, but when Roger kills Piggy, there's no downside for him.
Right.
So I get what you're saying. There was some sort of order and law there, but it was selective law. Not
exactly. So, I mean, the moral, I don't think the moral should be about the rules because there's rules on both sides. It's more of, you know, if you, I don't know. Because to me, I saw rules on both sides. They were just being enforced differently. So I don't, you know, I didn't see what the point of it, what the point of the movie or the lesson, quote unquote, to be learned by the viewer would have been.
Okay. All right.
Well, from a Criterion Collection standpoint, I researched on why this was actually in the Criterion Collection, or I tried to, and from what I understand is it was about 75% improv.
Oh, really?
They didn't tell the kids the story. They didn't read the story. They told the kids how to act and what was happening.
That makes a little more sense as to why the kids were quiet, really quiet at sometimes, and when they did speak, they seemed like they didn't know quite what to... I mean,
right.
I just chalked it up
erratic.
To kid acting, because
yeah.
I mean, none of the actors were horrible, but some of them had some tough times. A lot of the littler kids that didn't have a lot of speaking parts, they were a little rougher, but the rest of them, they weren't horrible, but they weren't great either, so...
Right.
Also, apparently, there was a bit of controversy when the director sent a letter to the parents to tell them what the script was about and what The Lord of the Flies was about. He left out the hunting scenes and the death and the murder and just told them basically it was a bunch of kids on an island.
Oh, wow.
I think the other thing that the story is about is the group mentality. Because the group doesn't always do what's right. They go along. Once somebody sets them on a course, a lot of people will follow that course. And I think this is an examination of that.
Yeah. It's just like the saying, a person can be smart, a group of people are stupid.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of... I mean, this is a book and a movie that is very studied. It's something you look at. It has a lot of important points.
I guess I would want to read the book now. I've seen this, and the movie is just, for me, it was an hour and a half of watching some kids run around on an island and, you know, break off into their niche. You got the bullies and you got the good kids, and then it just abruptly ends. And it felt very unfinished to me. So I'd like to read the book and see, you know, what more I can glean from that.
Yeah, definitely. None of the actors went on to do anything else, literally. Not a single one of them. Not a
Ralph
one. No, that was from the 19... There's a 1990 remake of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ralph from that went on to do something. His name's Balthazar Getty.
Ooh,
which
I like the name.
Yeah, that's an awesome
that's
name. And he went on to do...
is it better than Cumberbatch?
Yes.
I like Balthazar.
He went on to do some other stuff that I've recognized. Young Guns 2 and he was in Judge Dredd.
Young Guns is pretty good.
And I mean, nothing huge where he was starring, but he's done a lot of like side roles, and he's been a lot of TV shows.
So that was Balthazar Getty from the 1990 remake.
From the 1990, yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's still working, but from the 1963 version, nobody went on to do anything.
Well, I think, you know, if a director lies to a bunch of parents about what a movie is really about,
their parents probably have to
let your children into any other role.
Now that makes sense. So,
he didn't lie. Right, he just didn't fill in all the blanks.
Do you guys remember the soundtrack at all?
No.
The movie was so bad for me, I didn't even recognize it.
The movie was so engrossing to me, I didn't even pay attention to the music.
Yeah, neither did I.
There was some music. I felt it was very appropriate for the scenes, and that's probably why you didn't notice it, because it influenced the scenes well enough, Jesse, that it pulled you in, and surely you didn't care anything about the scene, so you ignored the music as well.
Okay.
Because it felt right for the scene. There were
right.
it was hectic during the pig hunting scenes. Mm. It was calmer on the beach.
Well, it was all orchestral.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was. I think the island they used was beautiful.
They did all of their shootings on Puerto Rico.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, that part of Puerto Rico is a beautiful, beautiful island.
And full of wildlife.
Well, and that's kind of standard for islands.
Yeah.
All your standard islands come with the wild boar.
So the book itself has won several awards, it looks like.
I'd be surprised if it hasn't.
Yeah, and it is required reading in a lot of schools and colleges.
It won the Nobel Prize.
Did it really? Oh, well, that's an award.
I guess, if you want to call a Nobel Prize award.
Yeah, no kidding. So overall, Shirley, you weren't impressed?
I mean...
It might just not be your style of story.
Yeah, I got an impression, but I got an impression of an unfinished movie where I was very neither psychologically nor emotionally engaged, and I felt it had a lot to do with, you know, two types of niches, the bullies and the good kids, and I felt like the story just wasn't, like, they just skimmed on the top of a story that could have been told in more depth.
Okay.
So.
And Jesse,
I enjoyed it.
Okay. How long ago did you read the book?
Oh, it was back in high school. It's been a long time ago.
So over a decade.
Yeah. I feel old. But yeah. And I keep forgetting, even when I started this, I completely forgot of how big of jerks all the kids were, except for Piggy, really, because the very first thing Piggy says to Ralph is please don't call me Piggy, and the very first thing Ralph does is, hey everybody. This is Piggy.
Yeah.
I guess that's the other thing, too, is little boys play rough.
Yeah.
And the reason you stop as a little boy playing rough is you're told not to play that rough, or not to play any rougher.
Right.
And these boys were not given that boundary. There was no boundary for these children.
Yeah.
And I guess if you leave a bunch of kids on an island, they'll revert to savagery and kill each other.
I don't feel like that. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, Jesse, what did you think?
I enjoyed it.
Give me a rank.
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. And who would you recommend this to?
Well, I would have recommended it to just about anybody who can stomach a black and white movie, except for now, Shirley.
Have you seen the 1990 version?
I have. I like this one a lot better than I like the 90 version.
Is it that much better?
I think so. It's been a long time since I've seen the 90 version also.
I would like to see... You know, on that note, I would like to see the 1990s version, but what I remember from the previews or catching glimpses of it when it was ran on TV, that it was just a lot more violent. I felt like I got the feel that it was a lot more of a violent film than this might have been.
Okay.
I do think the pig head talked in the 90 version. I was very disappointed in this version about the lack of the talking pig head.
Yeah, I'm seeing here it says that it does talk on the Wikipedia.
Does it?
So,
okay.
So Shirley, what do you think? Give me a rank.
I mean, okay, as far as black and white films go, I would give it a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
You know?
Oh, okay.
As far as
so even though you weren't
the
drawn
story
in
story of the film, I would give it 2.5
okay.
out of 5.
So average at about a 3,
yeah.
3.25 for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I enjoyed the movie. It was darker than I was expecting, I guess. It was just...
Darker emotionally, mentally?
Yeah,
or?
Emotionally. It was emotionally a little rough, watching the kids beat the other child to death.
Yeah.
Not that I grew up as Piggy. I wasn't that bad off. But I remember being picked on like that, and I remember that feeling, and it brought up a lot of that for me. And I know what it's like to watch all the other kids go and be... athletic and me not feel like I can. So that was kind of, that touched on those points for me. And then watching him get killed because some other jerk pushed a rock over, essentially,
mm-hmm.
that was a little rough for me. And overall, I liked the movie. I'd say a 3.5, which for me is pretty average. I mean, a little higher than average. I don't know if I would recommend this for anybody, though. It's a personal experience for me. There's a lot going on there, and I don't know if I would want to just be like, hey guys, check this out, you know. So that's Lord of the Flies, right guys?
Yep.
Yeah, that's Lord of the Flies.
Just to update our listeners real quick, we are now doing our Criterion Collections twice a month.
We are?
Yeah.
What?
Whoops, hey Jesse, by the way.
Jesse, didn't you get that memo?
So let's look real quick at what is coming out next as soon as I get Google to Google Drive to speed up for me. So we just finished Lord of the Flies. Next, it looks like we will be watching Modern Times. All right, this is Charlie Chaplin's movie.
And I
as I'm
wait
told,
for
this
that
is
one.
this is the movie that is the pinnacle of Charlie Chaplin.
I don't know. I've seen Gold Rush, and that was a good one.
Okay, fair enough. That'll be coming out sometime in the second half of July. And then after that is 39 Steps. I honestly don't know anything about 39 Steps. I don't remember why I grabbed it. Probably because I was looking for movies. I know why I grabbed this. Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh.
Oh, hey.
It's the 1935 Alfred Hitchcock movie. Nice. So this is going to be really old for us, which I'm perfectly fine with. And I believe that Modern Times is pretty old, too.
Yeah. Isn't it old?
So you would say it's not modern?
No, it is not. 1936. So our next two movies come from the same decade.
Nice.
And then after Modern Times, we're going to watch 1956's Blob. I think it's 1956.
Oh, finally, something I've seen before.
Okay, I've seen, what was it, the 70s? The 70s version of The Blob.
Yeah.
I will tell you what, I had nightmares.
It's 1958.
Nightmares. I would not go to
it. Oh, it has a sequel. Beware The Blob.
Great.
There's a sequel to that, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. Makes me want to go see it.
Did you guys see the 1970s version?
No,
I don't think I've seen the newer one.
Yeah,
now.
There's a hair salon scene. I would not go get my hair cut for, ever.
So it's Modern Times, 39 Steps, The Blob, Stolen Kisses, The Sword of Doom.
Ooh. Sword of Doom!
Samurai Rebellion, Hidden Fortress, Day of Wrath, and then Rashomon, which I'm told by one of our listeners that it is by far the better of the Akira Kurosawa movies. After
we
watched Seventh Samurai. No, I added that one because Josh really pushed for it. So we want to thank Josh Shop, who also does our music, for that suggestion. He said that Rashomon is amazing, and I trust him. And since it's on the Criterion Collection, I thought we'd hit it.
Nice.
Real quick, Jesse, have you watched any movies lately that refer to the Criterion Collection? Because we did.
That were what?
That refer in any way, shape, or form to the Criterion Collection or any movie on it. Probably not.
Not that I can think of.
So Shirley and I watched with her son Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Man.
So after we watched Seven Seal, I felt, man, I really want to watch Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey because this is just stupid fun. And it was.
Yeah.
It was absolutely, like, I forgot how over the top everything was and how much fun it was. And it was a bunch of dumb, jokey fun.
It was.
But this is the key part. Death looks exactly the same and is well acted and is Swedish in reference to the Seventh Seal, which that was kind of fun. And then when they go find Death and they challenge him to play board games, they play all of the board games in the castle from Seventh Seal.
See, I didn't know. That's...
It's probably not
the
same set, but it has the same look of that set, and it's just amazing. Like, they put little small things in like that, and it was really a lot of fun to see that.
And I didn't get that until you were like, that's the castle.
Yeah,
and
I was like, why are they playing in a castle? Oh,
and
they're
then,
playing in a castle.
And then now you say that, and it's just like Death, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's like just like Seven Seal.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And I highly suggest checking out that movie for anybody that wants to go see it. Because you probably ought to watch the first one because it really does set it up. But the second one's just kind of, it's dumb, stupid fun. And the guys that play Bill and Ted, Keanu Reeves and some other guy,
That other guy that was in Lost Boys.
Yeah, they're way over the top with their acting, but it's funny.
Yeah.
So and George Carlin's in it.
Yeah.
So
can't go wrong with that.
No.
So I highly suggest Seventh Seal and the princesses that are in it. So you guys should check that out. Anything else you guys want to say tonight before we sign off? That'll do
Be
it.
Be excellent to each other.
Be excellent to each other, yes. All right, that's it for us tonight on the Nerds Domain podcast. You can always send us an email at nerdsdomain@gmail.com, and we really encourage you to have any fight feedback or any movies on the Criterion Collection you want to see. Please send us an email, and we'll gladly put it on there. You can catch us on Twitter. I'm at Quiet. Shirley is at SNED70. Jesse is at J_Kimmett. And you can follow the website at Nerds Domain. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdsdomain. Again, we want to thank Josh Shop for our music. If you'd like to help us out, head over to our website and click the link for Amazon, and you can buy anything through there. It's the same price for you, same shipping time, same everything. It just sends us a little bit of money. And if you enjoy our podcast, you can always head over to our iTunes and, you know, click a few stars, write us a small review, and we'd appreciate it. We'll talk to you real soon. Thank you.